Well, it's Tuesday, which means it's time for our Common Health segment. And joining us is Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health Blog. Good to see you again, Carrie.
Hey, Meghna.
So out there in smartphone land world, there are a lot of great apps that sort of help you maybe achieve some behaviors that you want to. Like MyFitnessPal is one of them. Lose It's another one. You've been writing recently about sort of the next generation of these sort of behavior modification apps for smartphones.
Well, yes, I've just written about a very interesting project at the University of Massachusetts that would involve not just tracking what you do, which is what we already have a lot of. We already have a lot of apps that let you record what you've eaten, record how much you've exercised, but this would actually be able to sense things about you. When you are about to overeat or about to do something that you really shouldn't ought to do, it could conceivably be able to pick up the signals, for example, that you're heading into McDonald's, which it could know because of GPS, or that you're under a lot of stress, which it could know because your heart rate is up. And it could try to warn you and support you to not do this thing that you don't really want to do.
And this new research is being done at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, right?
That's right. And with us today, actually, is Sherry Pagado, who's a professor of medicine in the Division of Preventive and Behavioral Medicine at the University of Massachusetts Medical School. Dr. Pagado, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me. Where this idea came from was that my colleague, Deepak, was working on sensing technology to basically develop ways to collect physiological and environmental data about people through sensors that could either be on their eyeglasses, could be on a cell phone, could be in jewelry and things like that. Because one drawback of a lot of smartphone mobile apps right now is that they are very reliant on the individual entering information about themselves.
And it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And so the idea with this particular app is we want to be able to predict with some level of accuracy when you are going to overeat, the circumstances physically and contextually in which you're going to overeat, so that we can warn you when it's about to happen.
Okay, when the technology is developed, say
yeah.
I'm wearing the eyeglasses
okay.
that's hooked up to my smartphone and okay. I'm walking down the street here on Comm Ave in front of WBUR Studios past the pizza joint, right? How is it going to know? What is it sensing that tells it to tell me, Meghna, don't get a slice of pizza?
So we're going to be sensing two different categories of things. So physiological sensors, we can measure your heart rate, your respiration. We can measure your skin conductance. You can even measure your blood sugar continuously with being non-invasive. So that's internally. Then we have a second set of things that we'll measure that have to do with your environment or context. So we can tell where you are through GPS. So we'll be able to know if you're at a pizza place or where you're located in space and time. We can also sense things like whether you're around other people, because cell phones can detect other cell phones that are nearby.
So if Carrie and I share a terrible, like, 4 p.m. bread habit, and if it knew that I was near Carrie Goldberg at 4 o'clock, it might remind me to not have that.
Right. Part of Carrie's predictive model might be whenever you're near a Meghna, you're going to overeat. It would be more complicated than that, actually.
So then when it is able to form that predictive model and mm-hmm. you find yourself in a circumstance that might trigger binge eating, what does the app do?
So what it can do is tell you that. So it can warn you, give you that feedback. It can say, Meghna, in this similar circumstance, you have a 80% probability of overeating according to your data. Now, what I'm also interested in doing is going much further than that and inserting mini interventions. Let's say, for example, a circumstance in which you overeat is a certain time of the day when your physiological arousal is high because you're stressed and when you're in a certain location. Then I might want to create a mini intervention to help you navigate that. So either maybe a stress reduction intervention, or like if, for example, if the location was at a restaurant or at home, could help you navigate food choices in that instance. But for some people, just knowing that this is a situation that they're vulnerable to, it slows them down, helps them think about it, and can help them begin to think about changing their patterns.
Carrie, in your reporting on this idea, the app is at the very first stages of development, we should mm-hmm. say. It doesn't exist yet. But as you were reporting it, what did you think? I mean, do you think it sounds like a potentially effective new tool for people?
Well, it certainly is a tool that's being tried in some other areas. There are similar apps being developed for drug addicts, actually, and for smokers, because it's known that when a drug addict who's trying to stay completely off a drug, as opposed to all of us have to keep eating, but nonetheless, drug addicts often respond to cues, and a cue might be a certain place or a certain person. And so if you can pick up that cue is happening, you could try to prevent the relapse. So it is an accepted concept.
So let me ask you a question. Forever ago, this is like in the late 80s, I belonged to this gym. They had this newfangled, electronic weightlifting system that was computerized, and it talked to you as you were like doing bench presses, and it would say, you're doing great. You have 8 more reps to go. And you've increased your weight, blah, blah, blah. I actually found it really irritating after a while, and I turned it off.
Yeah.
Whereas, 3 weeks later, when I was working with a trainer and, an actual human being who was basically saying the same things to me, but because it was a person and I couldn't turn her off, it was way more motivating. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm asking is do you worry that because it's an app at the end of the day, and you can mute your phone or you can disable your app, that it does have a limited utility versus the human interaction that someone might get through weight loss counseling or support groups?
Well, this is where the social network aspect of it could be very helpful. We have this information. We know when your danger zones are. So what if it could also inform a friend of yours who you decide to buddy up with, that maybe it could ping them in some way to say, Magna's in a trouble spot, she could use your support, kind of thing. But you're right, a machine, we don't have accountability to a machine. We don't have a connection to a machine. So I don't think that this is a substitute to human contact. I think this is something that would be a nice companion to a counseling relationship around weight and that kind of thing. The challenge, though, is, have you ever decided to make a behavior change and you say, yes, I'm going to do this, and then you're going throughout your day and you blow it?
All the time.
Yeah, that's daily for most people. And so what if you had some ways to kind of prompt and remind, but not even just that, but also give you positive reinforcement, as well as mini strategies to kind of help you get through those moments? I feel like this would really be able to strengthen the impact of what I'm doing with patients by giving them more intervention during their life.
So I imagine that there are a lot of listeners who are tuned into this right now who are whipping out their phones and going to the app store and saying, where can I find this app? But it doesn't yet exist.
Yeah, so we're...
When do you think you might have something out there in the world?
We're developing and piloting it, kind of starting now. We just got the funds to do this, and so we're hoping to be through our pilot within the next year.
Well, Sherry Pugato, professor of medicine in the Division of Preventive and Behavioral Medicine at the University of Massachusetts Med School, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you very much.
Carrie Goldberg is co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Thanks as always, Carrie.
My pleasure, Magna.
And as always, you can find a link to Carrie's original article at our website, radioboston.org.
And stay with us. Up next, you can sell a used CD, but can you sell used digital music? One Cambridge startup says yes, but the music industry, perhaps not surprisingly, says no. I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.